Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as most of us know, Lyme rarely travels alone. I created this podcast to offer you hope and to remind you that healing is possible because I healed from my own 13-year journey. Although it was exhausting, physically, emotionally, and financially, it truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we share real and raw conversations with those who have made it to the other side of this journey, along with breaking down different topics and approaches with practitioners. My goal is to make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. If you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. So now let's get to today's guest. Today I've got joining me Dr. Crystal Pierres. She's a chiropractor and she is joining us to share her journey. And I'm a little extra excited about this because unfortunately she had or has alpha-gal syndrome, otherwise known as AGS or the red meat allergy. And it's a topic that's really kind of a big buzzword right now out there in the community because a lot of people are struggling with this. I personally don't know a lot about it, so I'm continuing to learn things. And poor Crystal gets to share the things that she learned the hard way along this journey. So I'm excited to welcome you to the show, Crystal. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tanya, for having me. It's so great that you have this community because our stories matter and they need to be heard. And I just am glad to be here and also just to have that opportunity to really put all the pieces of my story together. So I look forward to sharing that with you and the rest of your community.
I love it. Thank you so much. And it really is like this is a podcast I wish I had in my darkest days. And so I didn't. So I created it. So I appreciate you sharing your voice and being vulnerable. You know, it takes a lot of courage for you guys to come on and share your journeys, the deepest, darkest parts of things that I know for myself when I struggled with suicide. I was very embarrassed and I was very ashamed of it because I thought it was kind of the chicken way out of things. And so oftentimes we don't discuss these things, but now I'm an open book because, like you said, Crystal, we all need this information. We need to help one another. It truly takes a village to get through this journey. So I'm excited to kind of dive into your story. So, where does it all start, or when does it all start?
Oh boy, that's a tough question, right?
Right.
Going back and looking through all these things, and you just don't put all the pieces together. There was so many, like I was a super healthy kid. I never missed a day of school when I was in elementary school. I was raised by my grandparents, and I would often beg them to please just let me stay home. And they were like, "Well, if you're sick, you can stay home." And I finally got smart enough that I was just like, "Okay, you guys. All the kids in my class, they miss at least a week of school because they're sick." I said, "I think I should get a day each semester to just stay home and do what I want to do, or each quarter." And they're like, "You know what? We won't give you 4 days off, but that's a valid point. We'll let you take 2 days a year off just for a mental health break. You can't have a test or a report or any of those other things that are important." But so I think back to that of like how healthy I was. And then, you just start going through life and you are not aware that there are other things that are impacting that health and slowly taking that vibrance away. And so like, you're running a business, you're super busy, you start having some fatigue, and then you have additional stress and you start getting, headaches or migraines or different things. And so a lot of it I just attributed to getting older, And so, but if I had to pick like a specific window of when I think this happened, I remember waking up July 6th, 2020, and I had such severe bilateral knee pain that I didn't know what was going on. I had some hot flashes, I felt fevery, I had a ton of fatigue. Like it just
Were
didn't.
you just wanting to take the day off of work, Crystal? I mean,
Yeah,
let's be
I
real.
just asked for that. I'm like, "Hey, I don't want to work today." But it was interesting because I hadn't ever experienced anything like that before. And I guess at that time I would have been about 45, and I was like, "Oh, this must be perimenopause. Like I'm feeling a little warm. I'm feeling kind of tired. I'm a little irritable, stuff like that." And then as that year kind of went on, I made it to about September. And I couldn't walk from my front door to my mailbox. And it was less than 100 yards. And we hiked everywhere. We're outdoors people. We hike, we bike, we boat. I mean, I've hiked the Inca Trail. I mean, we've done a lot of really great things. And I would just stop. I'd be like, well, I can't go get the mail. And I just kind of sit down and rest. And you don't realize it when you're going through it because it's like that little slow progression of decline. And
Right.
then I was like, man, this is really bothering me. And I went to a physiatrist who I know really well because I don't know if you know about chiropractors, but we're not really big in traditional medical treatments. We tend to
That's why I love you guys so much.
wait it out a little too long, sit with our pain, figure out if there's an emotional part to it, or if we need to change something in our lifestyle. And so, I sat with this for a little while and I saw that physiatrist and, we did some imaging and things weren't too bad. And she actually said the words to me, I was so happy to hear, I don't think you'll even need to have knee replacement because I was an athlete and I was always injuring my knees. I was afraid that I would end up with knee replacement. She's like, your knees don't look that bad. And then she sent me to physical therapy and that didn't work. And then she sent me to a surgeon. And I went in for the exam with the surgeon the very first visit. And he wanted me to do an orthopedic test. And he wasn't even in the room, it was his interns. And I said, I don't think I should do that. And they go ahead and do the test. And I did the test, and my knee blew out in the room, and I fell to the ground. My knee locked at a right angle, and I was stuck that way for 4 days until I had emergency surgery. So that's
Wow.
kind of where this whole journey started. And the test that they did on me that they wanted me to perform that I said no, I didn't want to do, it actually was a test to determine if I had a meniscus tear. Well, I already had imaging that proved that I had a meniscus tear from an MRI. And so I should have listened to myself. And those are always those little things that you're just like, man. But we
Yeah,
over.
and that's an important point. Point. And so I want to stop for just a second because we truly have to go with like our heart, our gut feelings. Like you knew you shouldn't, right? But sometimes we get desperate and we're like, okay, well, maybe. And we can oftentimes question our own logical thinking, right? Even though we know what we know and we believe what we believe. And so let me ask you this, Crystal. You had mentioned a few times, like things can gradually change or decline over the years. And so they're so subtle that we oftentimes don't pick up on them. Did you ever catch yourself? I know for me and many others in the community, gaslighting is a real thing. And we get gaslit by doctors, practitioners, you name it. But oftentimes, I think we can gaslight ourselves. And it sounds like, did you go through a little bit of that maybe thinking, trying to, oh, well, maybe it's perimenopause, maybe it's this, maybe it's aging, maybe it's, I think that oftentimes we can't only put the gaslighting blame on practitioners because I think we do it to ourselves.
Well, I think being a chiropractor, one of the things that we often we believe that the power to make the body heals the body, and that we could kind of take care of it ourselves if we really pay attention to it. And I had a little bit of a skiing injury the year before all of this happened, and I hurt my knee, and I had some X-rays done, and in there was a little clause that said, more or less there wasn't anything super major, but we can't rule out this thing. And then it turns out that that's exactly what the thing was. So it was on there. I chose not to investigate further, but healing
Don't
and
fix something that's not broken, right?
healing doesn't always go by the way that we were taught. So, that philosophy, if it doesn't hurt, it must have gotten better. There are some things that there is not pain associated with it. And so that thing might not have healed, and you might still have it, and it might impact you down the road. And that was kind of my story with this knee. So anyway, I had that emergency surgery. So I'm gonna go into that little bit of gaslighting right here so that you can understand that with that knee injury that I had, and then I had that test and my knee locked, the doctor did this emergency surgery. And when I went in, I thought I was just having a general meniscus repair. He told me I would be back to work in 6 weeks. And then, right as I had already had all the medication, I was getting ready to go into the operating room, and he said, "Oh, actually, we think there might be something more. It would require a much more difficult surgery. Would you want us to fix that if we found that?" And I, of course, was just like, "Yeah, I want you to do it." So little did I know.
Under medication, right? Like, isn't this supposed to be handled prior to that?
Here's what I want you to know. This is November of 2020. Nobody by your bedside. You're wearing a mask. You have to do these COVID tests. Like, it was a nightmare. Like, to even get an appointment was impossible. And so I said, "Of course, I want you to do what I need so that I can have the best quality of life." So he goes in, he does this surgery. I come out, and my story went from 6 weeks back to work to I didn't put any weight on my leg for 2 months. It took me 5 months to learn how to walk again. And then in this story, my procedure failed. And that's where my gaslighting began. This doctor just like acted like I was a big pain for him. He didn't want to deal with me. He was the doctor, a few seconds and his hands on a doorknob, getting ready to go into the next room. I had to go during this whole COVID thing to see second opinions. I went to Minneapolis to see the leading revision surgeon for the procedure that I ended up having, which was a meniscal root tear. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not heard the root part of that, huh?
Meniscus sits on top of the bone, and when you tear the meniscus, just a piece comes off of it. But there are two things that hold the meniscus to the bone. I tore the thing that pulls away from the bone. So when you tear that thing away from the bone, they have to do this more invasive procedure where they drill through your bone and they anchor it down. And that's why you can't put any weight on your leg for a while, because they want it to heal. And so that is a completely different surgery than just the meniscus. But that surgery is the one that leads to people in their 50s having knee replacement. If they didn't catch that the meniscus root was torn, it breaks down your knee joint so much faster. So this whole time, I'm just believing these stories, right? Like, oh, that knee pain must be because I hurt my knee. And I ignored what that finding was on that x-ray that I told you about earlier that had that little caveat at the bottom, can't rule out meniscal root tear and different things like that. So yeah, there was some of that, like beating myself up. If I had done something about this sooner, would the outcome have been different? But I ended up going and seeing these two other specialists for this meniscal root surgery that I had, and both of them confirmed that my surgery failed. So the doctor that 30 seconds in every visit has his hand on a door and is ready to walk out, he had his hand on a door. He's like, "Do you have any other questions?" I go, "Yeah, well, I saw these two other physicians and they both said that my surgery had failed." And that was the first time that he ever sat down and actually listened to me. And so that was, I think, my first real big like understanding that doctors will often just, if you don't fit into what they want, they don't think it was successful or whatever, they just kind of walk away from it. And that was very disheartening. So I worked really hard to make sure that I could find another doctor in the system that would work with me. And that was really helpful. But I had all these weird and pains and difficult time healing from that surgery. My elbow would start hurting, my neck was starting to hurt. As I think I heard whenever I listened to one of your other podcasts that you might be wired a little bit like I am. I actually keep a list of every ailment that I have and the date that I've had it, and I've done that since 2011.
Oh,
And
wow.
one of the things that I found is that you can't measure, like, am I having more headaches unless you're actually tracking your headaches. And so I told my patients for so many years to do this that one day I was like, "Okay, it's your time. You're having enough symptoms that you need to start writing this stuff down." So then I started realizing that, like, oh, I was having swollen lymph nodes. And then I was starting to get some issues with my eyes and some redness. And I was having all these crazy headaches. And some of my blood vessels started to bust in, like, my arms and my legs. And when I went back and looked at all this, so thank you again for making me go back and look at all this, I was like, oh boy, there really was something kind of tied to it. But the crazy part of my story is that the same injury I had on my right knee that I had the first surgery for, I had the exact same injury on my left knee. So 1 year after my first surgery, I had a second surgery. But my left knee was so severely damaged that they couldn't do the same procedure. So I just did a regular meniscus repair, and that one went poorly too. And I think after two surgeries back to back, 1 year apart, my body was just like, I am done. This is too much. You've done too many things. And then I started having all these other problems. They just thought I was a malingerer. I can't even say the word right now. But I was making up pains, right? Oh, now your neck hurts. Now your elbow hurts. Now your ankle hurts. Then the other knee hurts. And they just kept sending me to all these other doctors. I have been to about 20 different doctors for my health stuff of what was going on. I talked to a mental health therapist and she goes, "You're okay." And I was like, "Then why am I crying every day?" Because I couldn't talk about my journey because my life was just swept out from underneath me. You know, I'm a hiker, I'm a biker, I want to be on my boat, I want to be in the outdoors, I want to be enjoying this life, and I can't do anything. I'm just miserable. So, as
Well, I
all of this,
want to, sorry, I want to stop you there for just a second. So I'm glad that you brought up that you are tracking things because I do. I say this in the community all the time. You can't have show any measurability with anything unless you track stuff. And, you know, just in life in general, life is busy, healthy people, and you start talking about, you know, you haven't seen an old friend in, you know, a long time. And when you're like, oh yeah, I probably haven't seen her in a year. Next thing you know, no, it was actually 5 years ago, right? Like time flies. It's hard to just keep track of things in general. And when we're having all of these health issues, it's very overwhelming. And you've got to journal things. You do. And it's not just to try to find patterns of maybe what might be going on with you. But I think the biggest reward of it is that when you're really struggling and having a difficult season, you can look back and be like, okay, I used to have A, B, and C. Now I only have A, right? Like, so B and C has gotten better. You've got to celebrate all of those small wins along your journey. And I think one way by being able to figure that out is by journaling. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Absolutely.
And then the other part of it, so do you think, and I know you're probably going to get into this, but trauma, physical, emotional, I think is what brings Lyme dormancy out, right? Like it runs our immunity down and the pathogens can take over. You had two knee surgeries kind of back to back in a year, right? And that was a lot of trauma. And now all of a sudden, you're this hypochondriac that has a pain here and a pain there and all of that. Do you think it was possibly that trauma that really just started bringing out what was really going on with you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had elevated CRP that was out of control. They couldn't figure out why. You know, they're sending me to rheumatologists. They think that I have all these like really scary things going on, and everything comes back absolutely normal.
Right. And by the way, listeners, CRP levels means like level are measuring your inflammation markers.
Absolutely. And then, so, you know, I'm just working my way through this, trying to get back to my life. I want to be able to start working in my practice again. And I wasn't in my practice for a good maybe 3 years. And thank goodness I had a team of other physicians with me, so I didn't have to lose my practice, and we were able to keep moving forward with our mission. But it was really interesting. Everything was just kind of humming along, doing okay. I wasn't great. And then in May of 2024, so my last surgery was 21. In May of 24, I started experiencing central eye blindness, and I just couldn't see out of the center of my eye. And then everything, when that would go away, would get hazy and like almost. Like we were talking when we first got on the call, like just it was blurry, it was a little bit hazy. I wasn't sure what was going on. Went to my eye doctor, and she said, "I think you had a PVD. It's where the lining in the eye kind of pulls away just a little bit, and it happens when you're nearsighted. So it's just that
Okay.
strain in the eye." And then I ended up, they sent me to a specialist. And when I saw the specialist, they said, "No, actually, you have retinal vasculitis and uveitis." And if you don't do something about it, you're going to go blind. So within 2 months, I started having ocular and visual migraines, and I was having up to 15 times a month. And what's hard about them is that they just come on whenever. Like you're just sitting there and then you start to see it and then it just takes everything over. And again, as a physician, that's really hard to just kind of work your way through it. And you're freaking out thinking, what's going on? Am I going to go blind? What's the rest of my life going to look like? And then,
So
so
scary,
it
so
was.
scary.
And that happened in, it was 7/23 of 24. And
I
then,
love how you have all these dates, right? You
yeah.
knew exactly the day you woke up in July when you had this knee pain.
Yeah, I was a little bit of a psycho, but 7/29, so a week later, I started with this facial swelling. My eyes started to swell, my lips were swelling. I was actually seeing patients at the time that this happened. It was a Monday, and I left my office and went to urgent care, and the urgent care was like, "Sorry, we're not accepting anybody else. You'd have to go to the emergency room." And I was like, "You know what? I've been anaphylactic, allergic to mushrooms my whole life. I have an EpiPen at home. If I have to use it, I'll use it." So I went home. The next day, I called my medical doctor, and they got me in 2 days later. And I told the doctor, I said, "You know, I was really thinking about this because that weekend before that, it was one of those perfect storm weekends. I got stung by a ground wasp. I had a tick bite. I had burned the brush in the back of my yard." And we know when we burn stuff, you had said in one of your other podcasts that you had been part of a fi that fire. I'm so sorry about that. And but all that stuff, those particles go into the air. You don't really know what all you're sucking in. Then I remember I told you I'm allergic to mushrooms. I ate that corn that has that fungus on it. It's supposedly a delicacy. And I just took that off and boiled the corn.
A
So here
corn with a
I
fungus. I've never heard of that. A delicacy? What am I missing out on?
forget what it's called. I'll have to send it to you later. Anyway, all these things happened at one time. And I was like, maybe my system was just overloaded. But the part that I missed is that I had had steak. And I didn't eat all of my steak that weekend. And then 2 days later, I had it for lunch. And what we know about alpha gal is it takes about 3 hours for stuff to process through your digestive tract, and then you can potentially start to have a reaction. Now, some people are a lot slower. Sometimes it's 3 days before you know that you're having an alpha gal reaction. Some people react almost immediately. But that's when I put it together. I was like, oh, both of the times that I kind of had some stuff going on with swelling and whatever, I had eaten meat, red meat. So I asked my doctor, I said, "Could you please test me for alpha gal?" And my doctor plainly looked at me, knowing who I am, and says, "You don't have alpha gal. I've never had a patient with alpha gal. Why would you think that?" And I said, "Here's why. I'm a doctor. Run the panel." And he goes, "Okay, but it's going to be negative." No joke. The next morning, first thing, he is calling me, apologizing. He already has sent in the EpiPens. He has an appointment with an allergist, all this other stuff because I was positive for alpha gal. And so it wasn't until I started going down that rabbit hole, which I'm happy to go into all the details about that, that I went in and ran through the whole alpha gal stuff for a while. And then in November of that year, so that was July, the end of July. And then in November, when I went to see my holistic doctor, I said, "Listen, I have alpha gal. I have all these symptoms and all these other things. I bet I have Lyme too. Can you run a Lyme panel?" And they ran the Lyme panel, and I came back with three positive markers, which wasn't enough by CDC guidelines
CDC.
to give me a Lyme diagnosis. So when I really look at all this stuff between the alpha gal and the eye issues and the chronic pain and the lack of healing, I think that Lyme was the, un I mean, tick-borne illness was the underlying thing that everybody was missing that was causing issues for me to heal.
I 100% believe that. And I know we're probably going to talk about this, but because it's on my mind right now, when you had mentioned you had eaten steak earlier and didn't finish it, I'm really trying to kind of study up and learn about the whole alpha gal thing because there's so many more levels to it than I ever dreamed of. It's not just eating red meat. It can even be something about storing leftovers in the refrigerator. There's some of them that you should not for different histamine reactions. Some foods bring out different things when you store in the refrigerator. Like, and I'm not a cook. Like, the kitchen is not my friend, right? But I'm trying to learn all of these things because I think it's really good information to be able to share with the community. Because, as you probably know, Crystal, there is so much misinformation going around out there in social media, right? And I don't think a lot of it is coming from patients themselves. I just don't think that they're intentionally sharing misinformation. We just don't know what we don't know. And especially when it comes to alpha gal, we're all kind of learning along the way as we go because there are so many more levels to it than just red meat, right? Or just dairy. And that's where it gets scary for somebody dealing with this because, as we both know, none of us ever respond in the right way. Like, you could have a totally different response going through alpha gal than somebody else does. And same with Lyme. Like, there's just not really anything textbook about any part of this.
So it was kind of crazy because the year before all of this happened, so this would have been 23 in October, I had acquired a respiratory infection and I had a really hard time recovering from it. And again, that's just not me. Like, it was very weird. And every time I would eat, I would start coughing. And I would cough so hard that I would start to wheeze. And I would wheeze so hard with that cough that I couldn't breathe and I was gasping for air. And it would take me every time I ate about 45 minutes to an hour to recover from it. So as all of this was going on, I talked to my doctor about it and he goes, "Oh yeah, that's just, it's your allergies. It's just postnasal drip." I was like, "Dude, this is not postnasal drip. There is no way." And then I talked to the allergist about it. And the allergist, because when you get alpha gal, they now tell you to go to the allergist, get all the testing done for all the things. And but the reality is it's whatever you're putting into your body or putting on your body or is touching your body that is causing you to have these reactions. So I saw this other allergist and he said, "Oh no, you just have, what did he say I had? I just had a dysfunction in my throat that it wasn't associated with alpha gal. It was perfectly fine. And I just need to do some breathing exercises." And I was like, "No, I can't breathe. And it's because of when I eat something." Well, little did we determine is that over time, it was actually eating the in the morning, if I had coffee, if I put a little bit of cream in my coffee, it was mammal. And so I was having a respiratory reaction to the mammal immediately. So, do you know about the different forms of anaphylaxis?
No, please share. I want to learn everything I can.
So again, I don't know all the details, but I know there's about four types of anaphylaxis. The first one is the big one that you know about. Your throat swells shut and you are in trouble and you need help immediately. The second one is a gut reaction. That's the ones where people will end up vomiting or have diarrhea, and sometimes it's so severe that they can't leave their bathroom for days. The third one is a skin type of anaphylaxis, and that's where you get all those crazy rashes and hives and bumps and different things like that. And then the one that I had was a respiratory anaphylaxis. When I would eat something, my respiratory system wanted to shut down. My throat didn't swell shut, but I just couldn't breathe. And it's when all those types of anaphylaxis end up happening, we're seeing that a lot with our alpha gal clients and patients and people. And so that's the thing that usually, because it's not that you're falling out, and some people have that happen, but a lot of us were just struggling every day to just survive.
Oh, that is such good information because I don't know that I've ever had an allergic reaction. Well, actually, I did. Years ago, I got in a car accident and they gave me something, I'm assuming maybe for pain. This was back when I was my early 20s, and my throat swelled shut. So I was allergic to the sulfa in whatever the medication was. But nonetheless, I didn't know that there were different types of anaphylactic. I just thought it was kind of like your throat swells and you need that EpiPen like right now, right? So that's really good information to share because you could just be having one of the other ones, right? And that could be a sign to you that you're having an allergic reaction to something. But if it's not so hitting you over the head. Hey, you can't breathe. Like oftentimes we might miss it.
That's right. And that's
Interesting.
I think that I missed it for almost an entire year. I had no idea what was going on, why every time I ate, I was in
Well,
such terrible.
hopefully you enjoyed that creamer you enjoyed every day.
Oh, I know. Now what we know, right?
Right.
Interesting, like you were saying about like with alpha-gal, it's not just what you eat. One of the things I didn't know is that I had never been a person that had recurring UTIs, and I kept getting UTI after UTI. And I asked my doctor, and they couldn't explain it. And it ended up being the toilet paper. Toilet paper has mammal in it, and so I had to switch to a bamboo toilet paper. And since I've had a bamboo toilet paper, no more UTIs. And so it's those little things like carrageenan. Have you ever heard of carrageenan? It is a product that is used like if you got a rotisserie chicken, it's often in there. It's in a lot of vegan products. Carrageenan by itself contains alpha gal. So if you are one of the ones that is lucky enough to respond to the alpha gal and carrageenan, you now have to look for carrageenan in everything that you eat as well. And so it's very interesting because my doctor blatantly just said, well, just don't eat red meat, don't eat beef, don't eat pork.
And that's the problem. Like that's what people think, right? And so if they're avoiding red meat and they're not having the main throat swelling, they're having some of the other ones that you mentioned. We don't know what we don't know. We need so much more information being shared about this. Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for you right now, Crystal, for sharing
Yeah.
this because toilet paper, chronic UTI is like, are you kidding me right now? That
Yep.
never would have crossed my mind. I know, I've had a few guests on previously that talk about it, and I had learned, a lot of things. It could be in your toothpaste and your lotions, and even, if you're taking a vitamin C supplement, the gelatin capsule that's, holding the
Correct.
powder has it in it. And so there's a lot of different things that I didn't even know, but toilet paper, I know that would never would have crossed my mind, and I never would have correlated a UTI to it. Now maybe a UTI to Lyme disease, right? But not alpha gal.
My other funny story is my wife, April, we had a dog that was sick, and this dog would only eat fresh cooked pork. And I didn't know, nor did my wife, that I was fume reactive to alpha gal. Have you heard of fume reactivity?
I have, but share it for the listeners. Yes, I've heard this a lot.
Reactivity is when you cook the beef or the pork or the mammal and the particles go into the air, you breathe them in and you have a reaction. So I would be sitting on the couch watching TV and April was making the food for the dog and I would start coughing and wheezing and not be able to breathe. And then I would say, hey, turn the vent on, thinking that it was just maybe some smoke in the house, but really
Right.
it the alpha gal in the air. So that impacts your life in such a way that you can't even understand. And you get so withdrawn. Like you can't go out, you can't eat at restaurants because not all the hoods pull all the fumes out. I couldn't walk into restaurants. I couldn't go to a barbecue. I couldn't go to a festival where any of those smells were happening. There are individuals, and I feel lucky because I'm not as severe as most people, as some people. Some people they can't take the smell of a skunk that sprays on the road. Could you imagine just you're just cruising down the road and on you smell this skunk that had released its odor and now you're going into an alpha gal reaction. And so it
So, are you saying the fumes from this skunk have the sugar molecule in it?
It's it skunks have alpha gal. So when that odor goes into the air, so people can be allergic to their dogs. Their dogs can lick their arm and they can have a reaction. It's a big deal. It's a life-changing thing for a lot of people. For farmers, so there's a farmer here in St. Louis that he has a restaurant and he had a hard time tending to his animals after he contracted alpha gal because he couldn't be around them because he was so reactive to them. And so this is why it's so scary is that it's not what they say, which is just don't eat the items. It's you can't wear the items, you can't be around the items, you can't touch the items, like all those really nice cashmere sweaters that I had and stuff like that. I can't wear them anymore because I have a reaction to them. And so it's just a learning lesson. Now, my spouse also has alpha gal. We live in an area where we have ticks galore, and I've tried this year to get zero tick bites, but zero tick bites, I've had 10. And so it's really concerning because every time you get another bite, you are worried, does this have Lyme in it? Is it going to be a different thing? And is it going to spike my alpha gal and make me more sensitive? And I've been really good for a long time. And just this past week on Sunday, I ate something and my eye started to swell. And I was like, oh, yep, those 10 tick bites have finally caught up with me. So it's definitely it's scary because you
Very
just don't know
scary.
what you're going to react to and when.
Right. And I want to shout this out to you, Crystal, and to the listeners out there, because I say it all the time. So years ago, Dr. Klinghart did a short little video webinar. You can probably find it on his website about if you drink cistus tea regularly, ticks do not like you. So cistus tea was part of my Lyme journey. I've been drinking it for over a decade, and I continued drinking a cup of it a day for multiple reasons. One was I don't want ticks to like me, right? Like they might crawl on me, but they don't want to bite me because I don't know if my skin permeates something. Cistus tea is antimicrobial. It has so many amazing benefits to it, and so I just continue to drink it. And I've had ticks on me over the last couple of years, and I haven't been bitten, so. I don't know. I share it with people. I'm like, hey, why not? Tea's great. It tastes great, right? So if it actually does the trick, might be helpful to those because people can't go and be testing ticks, 5 times a week to find out. And I know that some people live in that area, especially right now, where they're just everywhere. Like you can't walk from your house to your car without getting a tick on you. Like it's wild.
Yeah, and that's all ours is just yard work, the mowing or just cleaning up whatever we need to. It's not hiking into the woods anymore. And we're in southern Illinois where our country house is, and that's where most of our bites have happened. And then we have the practice in the city in St. Louis. And I've even heard reports here where there have been some ticks in the parks that people have ended up getting alpha gal or Lyme disease from. So it's
Very
definitely
scary.
a concern that our tick population is getting way more, I don't want to say aggressive, but way more prevalent.
Yeah, for sure. And also just recently I had the opportunity to tour a local clinic here in Idaho, and they do SOT therapy at their clinic. And I know before the show, Crystal, I was mentioning to you, I was so excited to hear that they actually have an SOT for alpha gal. Because otherwise, there's not really any type of treatment to do. Just learn what you're allergic to, carry an EpiPen, and try to figure it out. Like that doesn't give us a lot of hope, right?
Well, I did the acupuncture treatment for it. So I did the SAAT. Have you heard of that?
I'm familiar with acupuncture, but I haven't heard of that terminology.
The Solomon auricular therapy treatment, and it actually was really amazing. They put needles in your ear, and those needles stay in your ear for 3 weeks. And they are focusing on alpha gal and any of the other things. So when I first had my SAAT treatment, the very first thing that happened is after that treatment was over, my fume reactivity went away. And that was a life changer for me. Now I could go to festivals again. I could go to a concert and listen to music. Now, don't get me wrong with the other thing of having Lyme disease, the sound sensitivity, the light sensitivity. I had my headphones on and all, or well, I didn't wear headphones, but I
So
had my.
life didn't all of a sudden just become easy, is what you're saying.
No, I still had issues to work through, and but that really helped me be able to move forward. So I didn't have to
Interesting.
stay at home and eat all my meals inside my own four walls, and I could go to a family function or go to a concert and enjoy life again.
And that was huge, I'm sure. And so that is acupuncturists do this, and it's called SAAT.
Yes, SAAT, and
Okay.
it's Solomon auricular therapy treatment. And it really has been helpful. So I've done it a couple of times. I also had mast cell that they had uncovered, and that really helped to calm things down, which was the histamine stuff that you were talking about, as
Right.
far as the food in a refrigerator and reheating,
Right.
stuff like that. But I also started doing it because I started having all those eye issues. And those eye issues, my doctors really wanted me to go on really hardcore medications. They wanted me to take prednisone for a long period of time. And I was not into that because I didn't want to injure my bone permanently or cause other problems. And what I've learned for me is that anytime I take medications, I usually have a bad reaction to it. And so I tried not to take medications for a long time. And then a lot of this stuff ended up happening. And my doctor was like, well, try this, you'll be okay. And then I wasn't. So, like with my surgery, I found out I was allergic to pain meds and couldn't take them, broke out in hives and all this other stuff. And so my
You're
list,
such a lucky person,
oh, I
Crystal.
know, my list of allergies keeps growing.
You're
But
making all of us other people feel really good, right? At least we don't
oh,
have all these allergies.
man. But what I found was is that when I started doing traditional Chinese medicine, they started giving me herbal treatments. And those herbal treatments were huge because guess what? I didn't react to them. And so my vision stabilized. My doctor no longer wanted to put me on prednisone and methotrexate. He told me that I could just kind of, in his words, he said, and I quote, keep doing nothing. And I was like, buddy, I've spent like $25,000 this year on medical costs. I'm
On
not
nothing, yeah.
nothing. I'm just not doing what you want me to do. And so that was really good to know that acupuncture and the herbs were really helping. And then I went and saw a Lyme literate doctor. And I went and saw this doctor, and it was very, he was very knowledgeable, but his approach was not my approach. I'm a chiropractor. I'm super friendly. I'm going to take extra time with you. I'm going to make sure all your questions get answered. I didn't feel that warm reception, but I got some really important information. But they wanted me to do nothing but antibiotics for my treatment. And I was like, I just don't feel good about destroying my gut to fight this. And he's like, well, it works. You should try it. So I started doing Doxy. And I made it through 1 month, and then I had a full body rash, and I ended up getting shingles. And I called the doctor, and he goes, well, it sounds like you're allergic to that. I don't have anything else to offer you. Good luck. So now I'm diagnosed with alpha-gal. I've had failed knee surgeries. I have all these eye issues going on. I'm in chronic pain. I now have shingles. And this rash on my body, and you just give me a little topical, and I then have to go and find out if the topical has any mammal in it because I can't put it on my body. Had to have all of my medication filled by a pharmacy that why can't I think of what it where
A compound pharmacy.
They compound it for you. You pay, you know, three times or four times more for that medication. And I'm sitting here with this whole entire vial of medication still, and I can't take it. And so
And
I was
just
lost.
got b fired by your doctor.
I was lost. So here I am. I had the not good experience with the knee doctor, and now the Lyme doctor's like, sorry, I don't got anything else for you. And I said, aren't there any herbals or any other treatments? And he's like, nope, I don't do that. Good luck. And so that was where I was so thankful to have Dr. Rawls' protocol. And the Restore 180 fall
He's
into
one of
that.
my favorites.
Yeah. So my wife April, she had gone and actually set up an appointment with Liza to have a call because our biggest concern is almost all of the treatment regimens that I knew about contained mammal somewhere along the line. And I couldn't take them. All of my chiropractic colleagues were like, do this, do that. And I couldn't take them because I have alpha gal. And then the second complicating factor is I'm anaphylactic allergic to mushrooms. So all of those other med they have the adaptogens in them, which are really great for your body if you're not allergic to mushrooms.
Right.
So
All
I
right.
was
So your wife takes over. She calls. She gets all the information. So we don't get your hopes up, right? That it's a program that you can't really participate in because you're going to
Yes.
react to it.
Yeah. And at this point, you know, life is like the life that you knew isn't the life that you had created. And so you're sad. You had mentioned the suicide attempt, and I didn't. I tell everybody, I said I didn't want to live this way, but I didn't have a plan to end my life. I just knew that something had to change, that this couldn't be forever. And I just kept pushing until we found what was going to help. So thank goodness for my wife calling Liza, seeing if this protocol could help me. It could. I went ahead and I started that, and within 1 month of starting the Rawls protocol, those visual migraines that I was having 15 times a month completely disappeared and never came back. And
Amazing.
point, everything has stabilized. I'm not out of the woods yet. I don't know what's next, but I'm just sticking with this for now because it has been very helpful. And the best part for me is I've had zero side effects. And I think that that's the part, being so hypersensitive to all the pharmaceuticals and all of those types of interventions. I needed something that had a better synergy with my body. And it's interesting because not everybody with alpha-gal responds as quickly as I do to eating or being exposed to the sugar molecule. But for me, I think I have such a healthy system being a chiropractor. You know, we eat well, we move our bodies, we have positive mental thoughts and all those other things that I feel like having a healthy body was both a blessing and a curse, because I was always the person who would be like, let's eat the grass-fed, grass-finished beef. And now I'm like, oh gosh, I have to look at everything, and not everything I eat super healthy anymore, but it's what I can do to sustain and thrive in the way that I can. But that adding the Vital Plan and doing that Restore 180 and just having that team was helpful. Having the coaching that they provide with it, being able to talk to Liza, having Dr. Rawls and all of his online stuff that you could look at and gain that information. It was just amazing to hear him talk about why herbal therapy is so beneficial and how a lot of people don't have adverse reactions to it because it actually works with the synergy of your body. And that was a aha moment for me, because I was like, wow, this makes a lot of sense. And so I'm glad that I got to partake in that.
I love that. Yeah. And, you know, there's many people that are new to this journey, many people that have, you know, been struggling for years, decades on trying to find the appropriate treatment for them. We can't find practitioners. We can't afford it. We can't, like, there's just so many things, right? And so many people don't know that there are some set protocols out there. You know, there's a Buhner protocol, there's a Cowden protocol, there's the Dr. Rawls, the VitaPlan Restore 180 protocol, which I truly think is amazing because just like what you said, Crystal, it's not just, okay, you open your box of herbs that you get every month, right? That you're going to take. He has this community, this group support where you get one-on-one coaching, community interaction within all for the same price that you're paying to get your monthly herbs, which is very affordable, right? Like, no part of this journey is really affordable. I don't know if you recall how much it is, but I know it's like a few hundred dollars, maybe, or $300 a month, or something like that. But it's very reasonable. And it sounds like you really benefited from that extra support versus just here's your box of herbs, take it and kind of figure it out.
You know, when I saw the Lyme doctor, I got 101 pages of my treatment plan. And I just froze. I didn't know what to do. I reached out to a very good friend of mine from college. And I knew that she had Lyme disease, and I was like, Christy, what is going on here? What do I need to know? And I was so thankful for her and that little bit of community that I got from just reaching out to her. And I think that you're exactly right. Like, when you're given these things, you don't always know what to do with it. Even though the information's there in front of you, sometimes it's hard to take it in. And being a physician, one of the things that I try to do is I try to take my doctor brain out of my own care, which I don't know if that's good or bad, But doctors make the worst patients
They
because
do.
we don't listen. And I was like, listen, you need to get well, so do what the doctor said. And then when I did what the Lyme doctor said, and I failed miserably, and then he's like, sorry, don't have anything else for you. I was so grateful for my friend's advice. I was so grateful for the Restore 180. And honestly, the fact that it all came with a plan and a protocol and a coach that you could talk to about how you wanted to get started, where you needed to go. And for me, the big thing was is that I couldn't take the last 2 months of their program. I couldn't take one of the products because it had adaptogens in it. It had mushrooms. So they helped me find what I could take. They didn't just say, go head out there and try and find this stuff. And I think that's so rare today because yes, you can pick up a book and you can gain all the information, but when you have to piece all that together and you're not feeling well and you're just trying to
It's
survive,
overwhelming.
it
It
is.
is just, and that's, and when, I think it's natural when people get overwhelmed, they just don't do anything,
Shut down. That's right.
right? Like they just shut down. We lose hope. We give up. And so many of us are stuck in that mode right now. And it's heartbreaking to see, but we get it, right? Like I understand why it is. And that's why I think that what Dr. Rawls has created, this community, it truly is a blessing because it's not something you're paying for. It is part of the protocol that you get. And it's just, it's amazing. You have to have that support. And, you could have, if there was a product that maybe was in the second or third month that you couldn't take, where are you going to get somebody to walk you through and figure out what you can take without waiting for a doctor's appointment, paying for the visit, like just all the different steps. And I can't say and I didn't do it, right? Like this wasn't part of, there's so many things that are out there now that were not out there when I was going through my journey because it was so long ago. But there are really some amazing resources out there. And I think that Dr. Rawls has one.
I also think that it's hard being a physician because when you're sick and you're trying to take care of people, your patients don't necessarily want to know that you're sick. So here you are
Right.
taking this energy and you're giving everything you can to them, and then you're coming home and you're just crashing out. You're just trying to make it through each day. But to have heard Dr. Rawls share his story, to hear you share your story, that's why I'm here today, is to share my story, is that I'm not broken. I just have this thing going on, and we are going to continue to fight until we figure out how to restore our energy and get our health back. And it's not an easy process. And some days things go great, and other days not so much. But that's part of it. And just to know that we're all not alone. And that's, you get so scared because the gaslighting is a real thing. And we took this healthcare system where we used to have practitioners that cared about you and the whole you. And there was the time for you. And today, we don't have that necessarily because we have to meet quotas, and the healthcare system is for profit. And there's so many people that moved into this healthcare for. They have good hearts. They want to help people, but they have to work in the confines of what they're allowed to. So it's refreshing to know that we can turn to a podcast or look for a book or hear a story from another person to help us find our journey, because my journey and your journey look completely different, but there are facets of it that will inspire others to find what's next on their journey. And so that's the hard part of this whole thing is not wanting to feel alone.
Absolutely. And that was just so perfectly said. Couldn't agree more. And Crystal, thank you. Truly, thank you for sharing, joining me today and enlightening me and hopefully the listeners, right? Like this episode could truly save somebody a lot of heartache and frustration and struggles because there is so much about alpha gal that we don't know. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to have to go change their toilet paper, right? Like that's not what we're saying because we all react differently. But who would have thought? There's just so many layers to it that we really got to get this education out there. And I'm sorry you have gone through this struggle, right? And did a lot of it alone. Bless your wife for being there, right? Bless Dr. Rawls for having a program like this. It was a journey, but I'm pretty sure that you're going to say it's been all worth it. And even as you get further in this journey, you're going to come away with so many blessings, I'm sure, from it.
Absolutely. That's the hard part about it is going through it, but looking back, we all find our way.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again so much. I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.